Hello everyone, it's me, Pete Lyons, your host here again for 300, the RC Racing Podcast. I'm very pleased to be here. It's been a little while and I am joined by my fantastic co-host. It's never the same without him, and that's why we haven't done one without him. It's Alexander Hayward. Please say hello, Alexander.
Oh, Pete, so nice of you. How are you doing?
I'm very well. I hope you are too.
Yeah, pretty good.
Good, 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 good. Well, everyone, it's we were last in touch in May, and it's lovely to talk to you all again. Lots has happened. We've had some regionals, nationals. There's been debates about tyres. So we're going to discuss some of that tonight. Thank you, everyone, by the way, who comes up to me at race meetings and tells us they enjoy what we're doing. It's really for fun, and we're thrilled that so many people always ask us when the next one is and that they've really enjoyed it and that we don't do enough of them. But it isn't always easy to get together with Alexander's work and my work able to do the podcast. So that's really all it is. We try and do them when we can. And we're just thrilled that you guys enjoy them as much as you do. And recently I was told at a Stockfold Wednesday night that the only bad thing about the show was that there wasn't enough of them. So we're pleased about that. What can we talk about? Well, I think I'll start with Eden Park National, which has just happened this weekend, just gone. Eden Park, for those of our international listeners, and anybody who hasn't actually been there, is a long-standing 1/10 off-road track, which was the Eden Park Overlanders, I think, Alexander, some years ago.
Yeah.
Mixed surface, although the majority is Astro now, but it still has some cobbles and tarmac. It did have a lot more, and it is in Beckenham. Where is it? Beckenham? Where did you stay again?
Between Bromley and Croydon, I think.
That's
somewhere in the middle, between those two.
That's it. In greater southeast London, for our international listeners. It's a terrific track, very challenging in certain ways. On the left-hand side of the track, there is an offset jump, which for the UK, I guess you'd say, is quite big. The Americans would probably say it wasn't. and it's offset into, and if you go anti-clockwise, it's a big jump into a bomb hole. And if you go the other way, then you go up a hill and jump, and then there's a small tabletop the other side. Would that be a fair description, Alexander?
I think so. Like you were saying about how on our national circuit it's considered to be a big jump. We don't really have any jumps, do we, on our tracks? I think Torch, which is the next national coming up at the end of the month, that has quite a few jumps or kind of smaller jumps. But this,
it
as
does.
Far as jumps go, what we're used to on the tracks that we race on, it's relatively big, especially when you're jumping, like you mentioned, anti-clockwise, so you're jumping into the bum hole. It can be quite a big jump.
Yes, yes. So next round, as you said, Torch, Titchfield Off-Road Club Hants.
Yep.
Fact. Fans, fact. We're not when you see it at the Huddy Arena and the jumps and whatnot. Our tracks aren't quite like that. They're more undulating, if you will. But I guess that is a big jump, and it was really good to be back there because it's been off the national calendar for a couple of years, I think.
I think the 2017 did we go, or 2016? It's at least 2 or 3 years since we last went, I think, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, I was definitely there the last time it was on the calendar. It was good to be back. And I think most interestingly, there was two different winners in 2- and 4-wheel drive, I think that's really injected some excitement into the national season this year. And no disrespect whatsoever to the amazing talents of Neil Cragg and Lee Martin. But to have some different winners, I think, hasn't been a bad thing. I know they might disagree, and I would totally get that. But I think for the spectators and so on and so forth, I don't think it's been a bad thing for the series that there's been some different winners. So obviously Elliot Boots taking 4-wheel drive, did he not? At Robin Hood, wasn't it? if I remember correctly.
Yeah, forward driver Robin Hood, yeah. But we obviously were missing Elliot this weekend, just gone.
That's right, and Lee, because they were both at the RCGP, weren't they?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the 1-8 thing. So what can I say? Ellis Stafford, amazing performance to win two-wheel drive.
Yeah.
And Danny McGee, another amazing performance to win four-wheel drive. And obviously, massive congratulations to mine and Abe's sponsor, Schumacher Racing, for winning two-wheel drive with the new Kuga laydown and winning four-wheel drive with the Schumacher L1. And also, I can say Danny McGee was running Dash Electrics for its first national win. First national win, which is mine and Abe's electronic sponsor. So that's fantastic. And just on a personal note, I remember I watched Danny McGee's A3 leg, and it really was a super drive because he was under immense pressure from Neil.
Yeah.
For about 3.5 minutes until Neil rolled the car. And Danny made his car as wide as possible, held his line, and I thought did an amazing job to hold off Neil Craig. That kind of pressure, I thought it was superb. Did you see it?
Yeah, it was amazing, actually. In fact, all the finals for the entire weekend, Saturday and Sunday,
they were.
Were great racing. They're great to watch. I think we all went, when we found out that Lee and Elliot weren't going this weekend because they were abroad, I think a lot of us assumed that it was going to be a fairly straightforward victory to Neil Craig in both days. He certainly seemed quick on both days as well into qualifiers. I know the weather had a bit of a part to play on Saturday in some of his qualifiers. I think he had a bit of bad luck in round one and two with the weather. But it was great to see all these other drivers. We had some local drivers. We had Nathan Rawls, Ed Carey as well, did really well in four-wheel drive. We had all these local drivers or people that had been there a bit more. And like Ellis has been there quite a lot in the past, I know. It was great to see it was all mixed up. So it made for some great qualifying, some great racing in the finals. Just generally a good event, actually. And I think going back to the Schumacher thing, Pete, was it the Albon's first national victory?
I think so.
They've won two-wheel drive with a laydown, and they've won it with a KC. But I think it's the Albon's first national victory.
I think you might be right. So great weekend for Schumacher Racing. And I was thrilled for Ellis and for Danny because they both did superbly well.
Yeah.
You had an odd four-wheel drive. To quote Tom Cockerill's patented sound effect, it was a bit of a wah, 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 wah for you on Sunday with the usually bulletproof Uri machine, the X-ray, the Jumanji machine. You actually finished round two with three shock absorbers.
I went quite quickly, which is
quite creditable, I think.
I got a decent time, and I was running on three shocks from, I think, about 40 seconds in. So I ran just over 4 minutes with three shocks.
You see, the Jumanji machine. You can't. That's fantastic going.
Got to keep on going.
Round one? You're chasing your tail all day because of that. What happened?
I'd say user error, but the screw that holds the bevel gear on the centre drive shaft on the back had come loose. So the centre drive shaft had basically unengaged from the bevel gear. So I had no rear drive. So I was running around in front wheel drive only, but I only managed to do two or three laps in. It was fairly slow, so I pulled it off, thought there was something wrong. I do Loctite it, and I usually Loctite it, take it out, then Loctite it again, then take it out and Loctite it for a third time just to make sure it's definitely got plenty of Loctite all through the threads. But it just came loose. And then the second round is when I had one gentle roll, shall we say, coming towards the concrete in the centre. And I just caught the shock wrong, and it broke the standoff, the metal standoff that goes inside the tower. And that was the end of round two, pretty much. Round three and four, then it was just literally one or two mistakes a run, and it was difficult starting off 10th when you've got like the likes of Ed Carey, Greg Williams, Kev Lee all starting off 1, 2, and 3 in the same heat. And I don't think the stagger is always, it's never 10 seconds, is it? So if you're starting off 10th, you're really about 15 seconds behind. And starting off 15 or 16 seconds, say, behind Ed Carey, who was going really, really quick, Within two or three laps, then he's on your tail and you've got to start moving over and taking lines you wouldn't normally take. So I think from round one, I was on the back foot, and then round two was kind of the icing on the cake. Round three and four, average, managed to keep it in the G, so the right side of the A final, and dominated from 10th on the grid to take the win on the G.
You did.
So I was pleased
you
with did. That.
You were chasing Abe. At one point
I was.
In the final.
Yeah, was Abe ninth, was he? Did Abe qualify ninth in the G?
Yeah, he had a really, really good start. And then he was in front of yourself. And I was chuckling away to myself watching you trying to track him down, because he's pretty quick these days.
He is,
And then he did get caught up, sadly. And then you got in front. And then he tried to recover from that. And he did somewhat. But it was a shame, because I really wanted to see the two of you in a battle, because I think he's been a bit quicker than me this season. I don't think that trend's going to stop, although I do have my days where I pull it out of the bag. But I was giggling away to myself wanting to see him have a full bore run at you and you have a run at him. And that was sadly not to be, certainly not for as long as I would have liked in the final.
Yeah, he got a bit unlucky. I think he was coming out the second bum hole on the left-hand side. And there's like a horrible little lump right in the middle of the rise that comes out of the bum hole. There's a little lump right in the middle. And I think he caught that wrong and he just got unlucky. And there's a few people crashing in the same area. And it just meant slow marshalling because of the people who crashed as well. And he was unlucky then, really. But at the start of that final, Pete, I have to tell you, I was behind him and we got through about four or five people straight away when the first lap with through crashes. And I think he was third or fourth and I was fourth or fifth.
Yes.
And he went a bit slow around the concrete section. I was right on his tail and I had to kind of really put the brakes on to try and not kind of go into him or whatever. And then we went on the sweeper coming onto the straight. And then it was about two laps before I managed to get back up to him. I was thinking, oh my God, I was pushing, trying to catch him, but he created like a slight gap of about, I don't know, probably 7 or 8 meters. And I really had to push to try and close that gap again. So he's got some really good pace now, Abe has.
Yes.
And you can see that in the going off track slightly on the Oswestry regional as well, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, a bit later on. The Oswestry four wheel drive regional, or two wheel drive regional.
Two wheel drive.
He has some great pace as well. So he is really coming on the last kind of few months.
Well, what you described then was exactly how I felt at the Robin Hood Easter egg meeting when he got in front of me and I thought, I can't gain on him. And then I thought, actually, he's gapping me. And there was that sort of cold sweat fear came across me.
I'm surprised you didn't just walk up to him and turn off his... You should have just walked up to him and
turned his radio off.
Oh, mate, sorry, my hand slipped.
Start shouting at him, you know, all the tricks, you know.
Yeah, pushing him on the rostrum.
Kick him off the rostrum. This is my slot. Sorry, I've been there all day though, Dad. Sorry, no, you haven't. We're giving up now. All of that. Eden Park was terrific. As I say, you're right. There was some great finals. I was very, very pleased that Abe won top under 13 in 2 and 4 wheel drive again. He also won top F3 in 2 wheel drive. On Saturday, and he was one space behind winning that again on Sunday from John Barnes. And so that's the first three he's managed to do that. Yeah, if only. If only, wouldn't that be great?
I saw the name. Was it? Oh my God. Blast from the past.
John Barnes. You've got to. What's it? The rat.
Yeah, that song.
You
I always remember it from Gavin and
Stacey. Right hand. that one. Yes, World in Motion. World in Motion. Everyone's singing it right now. Everyone's singing it right now. What I can say is, go on. He was really good. I was pleased for him.
So obviously, Dave did great on both days. But then your two-wheel drive wasn't quite as successful as your four-wheel drive, was it, this week?
No. I was neat and tidy at Eden Park, two-wheel drive. I wasn't marshalled the entire day, and I just wasn't very quick. I think I was way too careful. Car was great, I think I was just too careful. But four wheel drive was I was in the iFinal, which I was bitterly disappointed about. But four wheel drive is much better, and I was in the D final, which
amazing.
Amusingly came in the Schumacher tent and said to me, he said, "You're in the D final," and he looked at me with that sort of sidelong look, in front of Lloyd and Danny and Trish, and he said, "How?" Which really, thanks for filling me with confidence there, Abe. And I said,
"Yeah,
thanks to a 30 and a 35 in round, Abe." And he couldn't believe it that his old man had actually got in the D final. And I was thinking, I am capable of it, although it's my highest, as well as I've threatened to do it. But it was terrific. The L1 was just amazing the whole day. I cannot fault it. And even in the final, I was going really, really well. I hooked up with someone, racing incident in the middle, nobody's fault, and I ended up last due to, you know, the marshals having to run into the middle. But that's how it goes. And on the big jump on the left, I was going as big as possible to see what I could do. So I was landing on the corner virtually. And it just takes everything you can throw at it, that car. Yeah. It's terrific. I have nothing to add about how good the Schumacher L1 is. And in fairness, your car, your four-wheel drive, there was some excellent X-rays around there that looked just bulletproof. Got to give them credit. The new B74 looked good as well. Tommy and Jamie taking that round. Obviously, Neil and Richard Barton, I think, as well. So, all good. Very, very good. Yeah. And, I can't fault the L1. I was thrilled. My laydown was great, but I don't think I was. And that's how it goes, you know?
Yeah, it was a strange one on Saturday. As you said, you felt like you weren't pushing the car enough. I think I felt the same. My car felt good, although the conditions changed all through the day. So I tried a combination of like my standard stand-up gearbox for the wet conditions, which I think the grip was there more than people thought. So then I changed like a 3-gear stand-up and I ran a lay down at one point. I was kind of chopping and changing cars to try and suit the conditions. But you really had to kind of guess just 5 or 10 minutes before you went on, because even it was just changing all the time. It was getting drier and drier. Then it would get wet again. We have a shower. So it was difficult. But echoing what you said really about not pushing the car hard enough, I think I've felt like I was in the same boat. It felt like the car had a lot more to give, but I just couldn't push it. And I think that kind of comes from the fact we don't really know the track. There were bumps in places where, I got caught out with that in round 2 and 4 wheel drive. You find a bump that you didn't find for the rest of the day. So you have to be generally quite careful. And if you don't know the track well, you just have to you almost have to be careful, because you are scared of making a mistake. And you always feel it's better to have a clean run than it is to have a fast run with 2 or 3 errors. So I think the more you drive there, for me, it all came together in that 4-wheel drive final. I felt like I knew the track a lot better. The car was bang on. And you can push a bit harder. But I think through Saturday, as that's the first day of the event, and as we get to know the track, naturally, people who aren't there often are going to go a little bit slower or take it a bit easier.
I think that's what happened. I mean, for anybody who wasn't at the National and doesn't know, is that it rained on and off all day Saturday. And just as we thought we might get onto yellows about 2 p.m., I think it was, the heavens opened again. And that did that for the whole day. So it was greasy, Schumacher silvers, it was greasy and wet the whole day. That certainly affected running and scores. That's how it goes, you know. I don't like it. It frustrates me. I think it's nice to have consistency through the rounds. I know that a Robin Hood, I felt very aggrieved. I think it was in 2-wheel drive when I was having.
Did you get rained on?
Yeah, I had a really good day, and in round 4 I got rained on, and it immediately dried for the heat after yours. Immediately,
I think I was in the heat after the heat after that, and it was bone dry.
So I immediately lost 10 points on a good run. In round 4, and that was very frustrating. because then I know that I fell behind people in the finals that I've been in front of the whole day. But what can you do? You know, that's racing, isn't it? As Neil Craig would say. So, Eden Park, it was great. It was great to see yourself there, Brett Birch, Poopy, Haskins, Richie Thorne, the Thornado.
No Harlow.
No, where was he?
Harlow. He got halfway down the motorway. He didn't know where he was. He got halfway down the motorway and unfortunately had a problem with his full-size car, so had to turn around and go home, sadly.
He wasn't
able to debut his new B74.
Oh, I did wonder where the Harlow had disappeared to.
Yeah.
So, hopefully we'll see him again soon. And one of the things we love about the Nationals is the whole traveling circus, as it were, that goes around with it. You see the same people, for good or ill. Yeah. You see the same people, the same races, and you all get to know one another. And I think it's a really fun thing. And obviously,
Torch is
next up, so we know where we're going, you know, the track. You know, when you turn up there, you're probably going to see Steve Brown and Gillian, obviously involved in running it, friendly faces. It's really nice, and I like that.
Yeah.
It's something I really enjoy about the whole scene, is the camaraderie and so on and so forth.
It's nice going out with some of the people, like if you go out for food in the evenings as well, or a few drinks, whatever. You're going out with the people you're racing with during the day. But it's nice to go out with them away from the racing environment as well.
Yes.
Just kind of like socialising in the evening, which is quite nice.
Well, it was fun. We went out to the Wetherspoons in Bromley on Friday night, didn't we?
Yeah. And
obviously Brett Birch was there, Haskins, Preddy.
James Evans.
Yeah, it was really, really good fun, that was. And, you know, obviously we had to leave when the bouncers said that it was too late for Abe to be in there. You know, I thought he was going to start a fight, you know, 12 years of age, throwing punches, you know, all that kind of thing. Yeah, exactly. It was good fun. It was good fun.
Great stuff.
So, something else I wanted to talk about today is there's been a debate raging, I tell you, on Facebook, and it's one of the usual debates. It's about tyres. I think
Pete, don't get started on tyres.
I know.
This could be the end of the podcast forever.
I think it will be a hit listener, actually. I think people love to gripe about it. But there's been lots of discussion about tyres not lasting very long on Facebook. And I've got to say, I've seen some proper drivel. It's not often that I pipe up about such matters, but I really think there's been some garbage written online about tyres recently. And I've got to, my tuppence, whether you agree or disagree, it's fine. We all have opinions. They can be right. They can be wrong. We're all entitled to hold them. And my view is, you know, people are moaning about how many tyres you need for regionals or nationals. Okay, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. My answer? Don't do them then. Nobody has to do.
It's as simple as that.
Well, it is. You don't have to do regionals. You don't have to do nationals. There's loads of club racing that you can support where if you don't want to spend money on tyres, Stopfold, my local club, you can run 3, 4, 5 run yellow mini darts and still race in the dry. Not a problem. Yeah. Your local club, Coventry, I've gone there on 3-run, 4-run tyres and run them.
Yeah.
And still enjoyed myself. There's loads of club meetings around the country where you can run older tyres or put on a new set and think these will last me 2-3 club meetings.
Yeah.
Right? The people who do the regionals and especially the nationals, we're all competitors and we're looking for the best results we can. And we can affect the result by putting on new tyres because on different tracks have different wear rates and those tyres make a difference. And the nationals are so competitive now. I remember, I think it was on Sunday in one of my four-wheel drive rounds, it might have been round 3, there was about three of us, four, five of us, all within 1 second. And it was all down to tenths of seconds. Now, the tyres might affect that. Okay. Now, the thing is you don't have to do those meetings. But if you want to do them, then I feel tyres are part of that.
To be up there, to be competitive. If you're willing to spend, like a lot of these people travel now to nationals and stay over in hotels rather than camp. So I think I heard somewhere years ago, it used to be like a real camp. I think Matt Dodd was talking about that. He said years ago when he was younger, like say 18, 19 and doing nationals, it was a case everyone went to nationals, camped, had a laugh, and that kind of thing. But now people are a bit more serious into it. So they tend to spend the money on hotels and have more cars. They have like a dry car and a wet car, and they're a lot more prepared for it. So I think if you're willing to spend all that money to go down to, say, Eden Park, 150 quid on a hotel for two nights, you've got to be willing to spend the money on the tyres to be competitive at the meeting you're going to at the same time.
Yes.
Otherwise, it becomes like a pointless exercise traveling that far, like for myself, 140 miles each way. And like I said, with the cost of everything, cost of diesel, setting everything up, if you're not prepared to put the money into the tyres, then there's really not much point in going, unless you're happy enough to go and try and run on three or four Renault tyres and just go around and have fun.
Yes.
It just depends on what you want out of it.
Yes, I would agree with that. And the thing is like I say, there's enough clubs looking for support with club meeting that you can go to a club meeting and run older tyres if you want to. Now, I have to buy everything twice. So before anyone moans at having to buy four sets of tyres for a regional, you should try being me, where I have to buy eight. Or I go to a national, it's 12, 15 sets of tyres. Okay, but I choose to do that. Don't have to do it. I don't have to do it. I could say we're not doing them. But I want to do it, and I enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
I don't do many other things, right?
As soon as Abe starts beating you on a regular basis, no, you don't. I haven't got to do it. No, Abe, I've got new ties. You've got the three runners.
We're not doing it, Abe. We're not doing it anymore.
We're not doing it anymore.
Competitive tiddlywinks. So you don't have to do it, okay? Added to that is the fact that I made my D final this Sunday on Eden Park on two sets of tyres. I put on a new set of Schumacher Mini Dart Yellows on the rear of my L1 at the beginning of the day. So I ran those in practice one, practice two, heats one, two, and three, okay, with the same set of new fronts that I put on at the beginning of the day. Round four, I put on a new set of rears and a new set of fronts. And I ran that in round four in the final. In round four, I put in my fastest time of the day, a 13.321, which was in the same lap as the A finalists, bar, I think, one, was it Ellis got a 14 lapper, I think?
Yes.
Yeah. And that was in round four, and I got a 35 in round. Okay, so that's two sets of tyres. And Abe had the same, because the wear rate at Eden Park was really good. And
it was, actually,
It was good. Now, that's not the same at all tracks, so you've got to allow for that. But I would say, I don't know what people expect. You see things online, the hobby's dying. Well, can you show me where it's dying? Because last I checked, there were something like 60 reserves for the Stockfold National. So... it's rather than anecdotal hysteria of, oh, it's dying from some people, shall remain nameless. Where is it dying? Can we have some evidence of this rather than just people's, pulling things out of the air? Now, I don't doubt that it's a cost implication, but when I used to race between 85 and 92, okay, I had six sets of cells. I had multiple motors, okay? Now, I do think that comparatively, yes, we spend more on tyres, but it wasn't cheap then either. And I had to work...
No.
I worked two jobs in my spare time to pay for my racing, okay?
Mm.
My dad didn't support it very much, okay? He bought me a car. The rest of it, I had to pay for. I remember going to regional meetings and spending my lunch money on spares. Yeah. So I'd eat nothing the whole day. okay? But I wanted to win, okay?
Yeah.
And this is the thing. How the hobby's dying, yet there's 60 people in the reserves for nationals. Now, I think also Mideast region posted recently they had something like 27 juniors in their region.
Mm.
That's phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And I could be wrong on that. Somebody may remember the post. But, you know, I see it as part and parcel of what we're doing. Who says people are looking for it to be cheap? Why should it be cheap?
Yeah.
Is owning a horse cheap?
It has.
Yeah, you got a daughter. Say you got expensive. A daughter. Yeah. Say you got a daughter. Oh, I want to do show jumping. Okay. I know a lady who does that, right? She earns really good money, and I think they spend every last damn penny on that. It costs a fortune keeping that horse. Plus, then there's the special, you know, horse box transporter thing they run. All of that,
yeah.
It costs a fortune. I mean, what's it going to? We go to racing. Stopfold on a Sunday costs £3 if you're a member. £3.
Yeah.
Right. Wednesday night, Stopfold, £3 if you remember, for a whole afternoon's racing. Tell me something that costs that little that you can do with your son or daughter or whatever it may be. Do you know what? There's only one thing I can think of. Amateur football. Amateur football, where you go along for the Sunday afternoon sort of kickabout on a big field and it might be £1.50 a kid or something.
Yeah.
There's not a lot else. Try go and watch a Premier League football match with your son. And travel away to away games, see what it costs you. I don't get this, it should be cheap. Yes, of course we want people coming into the hobby, okay? But we race little cars fast. It's going to cost money. Sorry, you go on. You go on. I shall silence myself.
we spoke about it the other day, didn't we, about how other things would cost you money, like a lot more money. Like, for example, I went to see an Arsenal football game, probably. I'm not an Arsenal supporter, by the way. Never have been. Never will be. But I had a ticket to go to an Arsenal football game, and I think we had the cheapest tickets in the ground, like right in the top corner behind the goal. And I think it was like £60 or £62 to go and watch Arsenal play for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And if you've got a family of four or whatever, and you're trying to go to these games, it's incredibly expensive. Or you're liking it. I remember meeting at racing years ago a guy who used to go-karting. And he just so happened came in his van and he had his go-karts in the back and we were talking about it. And he said to go to like a national event, it will cost him X amount of money. I can't remember how much it was now, but it was way over £2,000. And this was like, when was this? This would have been like back in the early 2000s. So about kind of 15, 17 years ago, he was talking about spending over £2,000 to go to a national race meeting, racing go-karts.
Mm.
And then he'd travel all over Europe. And I think he mentioned a European meeting, the whole thing would cost him like in the region of like £8,000 to £10,000.
Yes, exactly.
So on the grand scheme of things, we have got it pretty cheap in terms of that our equipment lasts longer. Like the batteries are better, the motors are better.
Yes.
Speedos are more reliable. The cars are more durable. I do think we spend more now on tyres than we did on equipment back then, relatively. So I think now if you're keen into regionals and nationals and you want to race at the top level, I think we spend more on tyres than we did on batteries and motors back then, comparatively.
Yes.
But
I agree
with
that.
We're earning a lot more money than we did then. We are earning more money than we used to back then.
I would
agree. I'm going back, say, 20 years ago, and my dad always supported me and gave me everything that I had to have to be competitive, basically. So we did nationals for a few years. We did regionals for quite a few years. We did lots of club racing. And he was always prepared. I was incredibly lucky, actually, because he was always prepared to put the money into the hobby to give me the best that I would need at the time.
Mm.
I remember, tyres-wise, you'd go through a set every two meetings.
Yeah.
Probably three meetings, maybe, on the rear. So you get two or three meetings at one pair of tyres, whereas for me, the Kidderminster Regional we just had about 3 or 4 weeks ago, four-wheel drive, I made the A. I think I qualified eighth in the A. I put another new set of tyres on for the start of the A finals, and by leg three, they were done. Mm. And I had no grip at all in leg three. I used three full sets of tyres at Kiddie, and I could have really done with four full sets. So then you are talking really about £60 in tyres for a regional. And I think comparatively back when we used to race, it wasn't as expensive then as it is now, but I think it's different because we are earning more money than we used to.
Yeah.
And we've got to accept it because the cars
they're going probably twice as quick as they were back then. They've got all the torque, they've got all the weight going forward. So you've got no kind of weight over the rear for the traction. We want the maximum corner speed. We want these cars to be as fast as possible. So we put in 6-turn motors, 5-turn motors. Some people would probably even use a 4-turn motor, I'm sure, in four-wheel drive. You have all this mega power coming from the LiPo batteries, and all the weight's further forward, so it goes around the corners faster.
Yes.
So what can you expect, really? Like, it's just part of it, really.
That's how I view it. It's part and parcel of it. I think there's another dimension, which is that the hobby stores, the model shops, it's ongoing revenue. Okay. So whether you buy your tires from Inside Line, DMS, RC Octane, MB Models, whoever it is, it's an ongoing revenue stream for them. It might not be a lot for them, but it's an ongoing revenue stream. And for us to sit here and say, do you know what? I want to buy one set of tires. And you know what? They're going to last me about 10 meetings. And I expect that hobby store to survive on me buying one packet of Eclipse. You know, it's just not, and then wondering why they've gone out of business. It's just not realistic. Now, we got, you know, like I say, I do understand about the cost of tyres. I do understand. I think there's also completely unrealistic viewpoints out there with regards to who gets tyres for nothing, as if it's every Tom and Dick and Harry, because that's just not true. Okay. But example, Torch, National Track, I know, is relatively tough on tyres. Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to be looking at a set, a run, and I won't be able to use them in four wheel drive because from past experience, they go off. So
they're not good enough. Yeah.
You think about how many tyres I'm looking at for the Torch National. There's two of
basically
us.
Basically, 4 cars worth of tyres.
That's two. That's two of us.
20 sets of rears?
Yeah. 24. 24 sets.
24 sets of rear.
So I know what it costs, but that's my decision, okay? I don't have to go.
It's his own decision.
Their own decisions.
Yeah, their own decisions.
Their own decisions.
Yeah. Red nose though, yeah.
They clearly, that's up to me. But I love it. I enjoy the scene. I don't go, but, you know, if you go out and moan about spending 30 quid on tyres for a regional, but you'll quite happily go up the pub and spend 60 quid shoveling drink down your throat, then I think you're a bit of a hypocrite. Yeah. I don't go to the pub. I don't drink barely. Yeah. So it's up to me where I want to put my money. Myself and Abe really enjoy racing, you know?
Yeah.
And I have other children as well, and they do other things. So I have to get out the door and work, you know? So it costs money. I don't understand this idea of thinking that it's got to be some 2-bob bit cheap sport that doesn't cost you anything. But if you want it to be like that, you can.
Yeah.
You know, Keith Wardle and Alex Carter and Nigel Buck and Ian Buck and co. open up Stockfold pretty much every Sunday, where you can go pay 15 quid to join and 3 quid to race and have a great afternoon running old tyres on a great track and have a lot of fun. Yeah, you don't have to do regionals or nationals, but the fact that they're so popular, I would say Paul Worsley would be right to say, well, look, the figures speak for themselves. That's my view. I don't run any new tyres at club meetings. I have a box here filled with sets of tyres that have done 2 runs.
Yeah.
And so when I go to a club meeting, out they come. I'll take out about 6 to 8 sets and run them, depending on the track, one more time or more if I can. And I don't have to spend anything other than the money it costs me to pay to race at the track to support that local club. I don't have to spend anything on tyres. That's my view.
There we go.
That's my view.
Yeah, I'd agree with you, really. I think you've got to ask yourself, I think it's just part and parcel of it. So, but it's whether it's coming down to the racer having to ask themselves whether they want to race at that level or not.
Correct.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
So if they want to race at the high level and want to be competitive, then they've got to accept that that's just the cost. It's included in the cost of doing it. So
yeah.
You go to a meeting, you've got to put new tyres on or run decent tyres to compete. Mm. If you don't want to be go to those kind of meetings, like the regionals and things, then just go to the club races and you can stick a new set of tyres on, which might last you all day, or they might last you two meetings, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just, I think they've just got to ask themselves what they want out of it and which way they want to do it. But I think it's part and parcel of it now. And I think Paul Woerts is right in saying that it's better now than it ever was, because with a control tyre, because I remember doing nationals without a control tyre and regionals as well, actually. And I remember going to Kidderminster National. This is a long time ago, when I was running the B3, so probably like late 90s, early 2000s at the latest.
Mm.
And I was running, I think, ballistic green mini pins, I think was the tyre to run. But in the dry, they weren't that great, and there were other guys going around a lot faster. So me and my dad were trying different things. There's a model shop on site that had about 30 different sets of rear tyres you could choose from. In the end, we went around and had a look what all the top guys were using. I think we were using like lossy sprint tyres, almost like a clay track tyre.
Yeah.
But before we knew that, me and my dad were putting on like Proline step pins, we were putting on ballistic green mini pins, we put on loads of different things to try and get something that worked. And in the end, we had to go and spend like £12 on one pair of lossy sprints, whatever they were. So you're trying different things. Now we can go, we went to Eden Park this weekend. We knew that it was going to be Schumacher darts or Schumacher mini spikes.
Mm.
And we knew that in the wet, from what people had told us, it was Schumacher silver darts, and in the dry, it was Schumacher yellow darts. So we can just turn up with enough to cover us on both days, rears, and one type of tyre, two compounds, and that's it. Then you're done, aren't you? You know what you're going to run.
Exactly.
It's better now than ever. The fact I haven't got like a home, keep a few tyres in, but I haven't got drawers full of different tyres I'm never going to use. I've got a few tyres that I know I'm going to use.
Yes.
Because they work everywhere, and we know that they are the control tyre for all the meetings we go to. So
exactly.
In one way, it's quite a lot better than it ever used to be, really, in that respect. So
I think that's an excellent observation, if I may say so myself. And I think it's absolutely right. I think the non-control tyre thing is a mess, because practically it works out that you might find a tyre that is slightly faster at a national track. And if you don't know about it, you're automatically on the back foot. And if you can't get them, then, you know, everywhere sold out, they haven't got them, it's tough. It turns into a melee to try and find certain tyres. Whereas at the moment on the national series, you know, if it's dry, you can put on Schumacher yellow mini darts. Done. You'll be on the same tyre that Neil Cragg, Lee Martin, Ellis, Danny, Lloyd Story, and all of that will be running. You know, and I think that's great. Everybody gets a chance. Then everyone gets a chance.
Yeah.
And as you know, with Schumacher, you know the supply of tyres is consistent, because that's the other thing that's forgotten about. You know that the supply will be there, and that they're consistent, the compounds are consistent, and you'll be able to get those tyres. And that is really important, and it's a dimension that gets forgotten about. So I thought we'd just have our tuppence about the tyre debate, because there's nothing like tyres to get people fired up. I also think there's nothing like tyres to get some people talking an absolute crock of nonsense about RC and this, that, the other. And people leaving in droves, and apparently nobody racing anywhere anymore. And I don't doubt that, yes, okay, it costs money, but I think that's to be expected with what we do. It is part and parcel of it, you know. And if you don't want to spend the money, go club racing. There's plenty of it, and there's plenty of club days that would love to have, I think, more drivers. I think that's been something that Mark Ashforth has, your best mate, Trunforth, has definitely talked about, is like getting more people to club days. Well, I certainly think that's something to be supported, and that's why I would go along and use tyres that I'm not, you know, that I've run at nationals or whatever it may be. You know, it's like going to the Euros. Like you say, go to the Euros and moan that you've got to spend £200 on the tyres. Well, don't go there.
Yeah.
You know, you don't
know. You know this before you book in. You know as you pay your entry, and you're spending X amount of money on flights or car hire or channel crossings or whatever, or hotels. If you're going to spend like the best part of probably £1,500 on basically a holiday for 10 days, whatever, a week, 10 days, then you've got to be prepared to spend the kind of 200-300 quid in the tyres to race. What's the point in running around on slicks?
Yeah.
You might as well. It's something you need to factor into what you're doing, basically. Yeah, you need to think, right, okay, you need to work it all out before you go.
Correct. It's like you going down to the Arsenal. Quite what possessed you to do that, I'll never know. But it'd be like going down there, right? And then take your train ticket. You bought your pie and a pint, right? You're sitting outside and they're saying, oh, you know what? It's 60 quid to get in there. They say, yeah, what did you come down on the train for? Oh, well, you know, I wanted to come see a Premier League match. Yeah, okay. Well, you've got to pay 60 quid then, haven't you? Like, oh, yeah, but, you know, it's a bit much, isn't it? You know, so, well, don't go then.
Oh, a bit much.
Oh, yeah. Or it's a bit rich.
A bit much.
It's a bit.
Yeah, a bit
it's
rich.
A bit rich.
I prefer Tottenham.
I do, because I am a Spurs fan. I am a Spurs fan for my sins.
For your sins.
Yeah. Oh, I prefer Flan. so yeah, I think that I think people just need to think clearly about it. There's loads of club racing you can go to do. You don't have to spend the money on tyres. Stop whinging, basically. Stop whinging.
Yeah.
And just sort yourself out. If you want to go and do nationals, then, you know, it's the nationals. You're meant to be competing at the best of the British competition, you know, that it qualifies you for the Euros. That's what it's all about. Why shouldn't it be competitive? Yeah, tyres are going to matter, yeah, aren't they? You know, and I think that's just something you've got to accept. So, I mean, that kind of rounds it up, really, for this show.
Yeah.
I didn't put together anything silly, which will probably have upset Aidan Burke, because Aidan loves our silly stupidity. No film quizzes about things from...
No film quizzes,
yes,
predating my birth.
Yes. Are there any questions about something not to do with war? Yeah, I have. I've even got a question on the Suez Canal.
Which canal links?
Yeah.
got loads, yeah, okay.
No quizzes about how to kill a man with one finger in a headlock, but I'll have to do something for next time. I'll have to do hey or nay. Do you know what? I had a lot of people feedback to me that they enjoyed the hey or nay feature about movies and your amazing lack of knowledge about popular movies.
About things that were made before I was born, yeah.
Made before you were born, yes. I will compensate for that, though. I will probably ask you questions about things like, I don't know, How to Train Your Dragon. Seen that?
It was awful, but yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I didn't like it at all.
You didn't like it? How could you not like Toothless, the little dragon? What's wrong with you?
Is that the one? I'm sure I've seen it. I didn't like it at all. Sorry, Pete.
Do you know what? Tell me a film you do like.
Mate, don't hate me.
Tell me a film you do like. Avatar.
All the classics, you know, all the greats, all the classics.
I put you on the spot now.
All the Bond films.
Name it. Yeah, quiz. Bond. Yes. Bond.
Yeah. Taken. Another classic.
Taken. Liam Neeson. Taken. Taken. What is it? Say that for me. What is it? Good luck. You don't remember me, do you?
Good luck.
You don't remember me, do you? Then proceeds to massacre an entire room of Eastern Europeans. that film I did, who, oh look, Taken's a, who doesn't like Taken, though I did feel they forced the innocent daughter thing a little bit much. Daddy, I'm coming and I'm gonna kill you, you know.
That was actually quite a good impression.
Do you think? Do you know some of my impressions? I was thinking of I'll share this one with the listeners. I was thinking of another stupid idea to do with you, which was movie lines, right, recited in character by Yoda doing somebody else in a movie, right? I thought that's how you could do, and you'd have to guess the film. So I would do something like, it would be like Taken, and it would be something like, let me think, it would be, remember me, you do not, kill you I will, right? So that would be Yoda doing Liam Neeson in Taken. So you're almost two people removed from the actual dialogue. So that was something, but I'd have to really get my impressions would be diabolical, some of them. But it really made me laugh when I thought about it. Or it would be like Emperor.
Is this what the podcast has come to?
Yeah,
is this what we've reduced ourselves down to? We talked about tires, and now we're doing Yoda impressions of Yoda doing an impression of someone else in another film.
Yes, I will plumb any depths for a laugh, to be honest. But then I thought about Emperor Palpatine from Star Wars doing Liam Neeson doing Taken. Or something of that ilk. I'll have to have a bit of a thing, but it did make me chuckle because you'd have absolutely zero chance of getting any of them right. That's the thing.
Oh, no.
But that's it.
You could do it. In films before I was born as well. So you could do Yoda impressions of films or of actors in films made before I was born.
Yes.
So, and then it would definitely be a zero.
I think, you know, John Wayne. Clint Eastwood, that would be another good one. Did I fire, was it 6 or 7 bullets or something, wasn't it? Do you feel lucky, punk? Well, do you?
Well, do you?
Do you? Or
I just think of the Brent impression of Clint Eastwood. I'll tell you now, do I make 5 or 6 colours? Clint Eastwood.
Ricky, do you know, I never get tired of watching that. Ricky Gervais,
this is fantastic.
Doing various characters, going to increasingly more desperate impressions with Eric Hitchmo. He doesn't talk anything like that. He does.
Who's been to Coventry Conference?
Who's been to? And it's in Coventry, your hometown. Who's been to Coventry Conference? Who's this?
Yeah, but I didn't know he talked like that.
He talks exactly like that.
Exactly.
He
like
talks
that.
Exactly like that. Priceless.
I prefer
stuff.
The stuff you do about his little hand.
I don't do anything about his little hand.
Yeah, you do the.
Say nothing more. Family show.
Yeah.
Just so quotable. Do you know what? It's getting on for, what is it, 15, 16 years ago, that is.
Yeah.
I find that hard to believe. It's still as good as it ever was. The Office. Timeless.
Much like yourself, Pete.
I think what we'll do is for the next show, we'll have to do... I think what we should do for the next one is we will do, which will naturally lend itself to comedy, will be an Office quiz, I think.
Yeah.
I think that would be great. An Office quiz.
Yeah.
Because Richie Thorne will love that, because we'll be able to bring in IT consultant into that. What was you worried about? No professionals.
What were you worried about? No professionals.
Yeah. That also involves another legendary Midwest character who shall remain nameless, who we all love. We all know who we're talking about. No professionals. So I think an Office quiz for the next show. Guys and girls, thank you for listening, both in the States and internationally. We have quite a lot of listeners, as well as all of our UK people. Thank you for your support. I've been Pete Lyons. Also, we've had Alexander Hayward, haven't we, Alexander?
We have indeed, Pete. Yes.
Yes. Thank you for joining us. Like and share the podcast. And we will see you next time when we get round to it, probably in a month's time or so. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you all at the racetrack, Torch, wherever it may be, very soon. Thanks, guys. We'll see you again.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
See ya.
Goodbye.
Bye.